Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here's a little song I wrote. I thought I'd never see the day they shut our churches down. Politicians lying from town after town. Altars are empty, prisons full today. Enough is enough, we can't go on this way. We need a move of God, need a Holy Ghost revival. Need to get back to the Bible, remember what we forgot. We need a move of God. Start living like the chosen. Start blessing and start sowing. Take back what the devil's stolen. We need a move of God. Wish I could get a amen. I think of how it used to be and how it is right now. We used to shout and testify, sing glory down. Souls crying at the altar, repenting of their sin. I think we need to get back to what we had back then. We need a move of God. Need a Holy Ghost revival. Need to get back to the Bible. Remember what we forgot. We need a move of God. Start living like the chosen. Start blessing and start sowing. Take back what the devil's stolen. We need a move of God. From the White House to the church house, from the pulpit to the pew, we need a move of God that starts with me and you. Lord, Lord, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, repent of their sin and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, I will reach down, I will heal their land. What I did in Ezekiel's graveyard, I can do in the church today if my people will get hungry for a move of God.
We need a move of God.
Need a Holy Ghost revival. Need to get back to the Bible. Remember what we forgot. We need a move of God. Start living like the chosen. Start blessing and start sowing. Take back what the devil's stolen. We need a move of God. Thank you so much. I am very honored to be here. I have known your pastor since he was a teenager. And I've known Pastor Adam since he was a teenager. And that means I'm old. I'm at the place in my life where I go to the refrigerator and open the door and don't remember why I'm there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm so honored to be here. I know I'm a little nervous when I come to church for the first time, especially one who has a preacher like you have. Brother Shane's one of the greatest preachers in America. That is a fact. He and I serve as bishops for Pastor Rod Parsley's City Harvest Network. And he's just a tremendous preacher and a man. And I've actually stayed in his home. Miss Pam hosted me when there was a hurricane that wiped out Louisiana. We couldn't get a hotel. So I've actually stayed in their home, and I know what kind of people are pastoring this church. Cookville's very fortunate to have such a powerful team. Brother Adam, I got to tell you, the worship this morning is as good as I've ever heard anywhere I've been. And that, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I was just caught up in the worship, and I could have just continued to worship. I'm excited about where you're going as a church. This coming November, I will have been saved 54 years. I was born in a family of 9 children. I was the 8th. We were so poor that the rainbow in our neighborhood was black and white. And nobody was ever saved, much less a preacher. I got saved at 19 years of age because Because I was laying in a hospital bed, never heard a sermon, never been to church, didn't know a Christian, covered up with a sheet, pronounced dead from my third overdose of drugs. Suspended above the bed on my way to hell when Jesus stepped between me and the devil. Pulled the sheet back and touched me on my right foot and said, I'm going to raise you up and you're going to carry the gospel around the world. 54 years later, I'm here to tell you, I've done what Jesus told me to do. I came here this morning from Fort Smith, Arkansas, where I had a crusade this week. I leave here today and go home, get some clean clothes, and go to Branson, Missouri, and start all over tomorrow night. And so that's kind of my life. And I just stopped by here today to share some things with you. And if it'd be okay, I'd like to do that. I want us to turn for just a moment to Acts, the 19th chapter. And I'm just going to read one verse of scripture. And I know that we're limited on time, so I'm going to preach quick if you say amen quick. Now, if you're quiet, I have a tendency to get long-winded, and I don't want to do that. So why don't we just practice right now? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's some of the best preaching I ever heard. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 19 and verse number 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The word prevail there means overcame, won out, overruled, overpowered circumstances, sense knowledge, reasons, problems, and sickness. The word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4, that the sower went forth to sow the word. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of seed. This is seed. It's going to be a long sermon now. This is seed. This is not a book about God. This is the word of God. This book says in Genesis 1:11, on the third day of creation, God created seed. We had natural seed before we had this seed. And seed plays an important part in our life, from the toast we had for breakfast to the clothes we put on to come to church. Seed was responsible. Somebody, somewhere, sowed the seed that grew the wheat, that made the bread, that made the toast. Somebody, somewhere, planted cotton that made the clothes that we wear. Seed is significant. Seed is important. In Genesis 2:8, the Bible says that God, after he created seed, he sowed seed. It says he planted a garden and he commanded the ground to bring forth a harvest. So you see, God's word is in the seed. God's word is in the earth. God just needs a sower. If God can find a sower that will sow the seed, and in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4, we find out that the seed didn't always fall in the right place. Don't ever get discouraged when you say something to somebody about the Lord and they don't respond immediately. See, there's something about seed. Jesus said that the seed is like the kingdom is like a man who sowed a seed and went to bed, and when he got up, he had a harvest. The only gospel I ever heard was when I got thrown out of vacation Bible school at 13 years of age. for smoking. And when I got thrown out, Miss Llewellyn said, James Payne, Jesus loves you. No matter how high I got or how much alcohol I drank after that day, all I could hear was Miss Llewellyn say, James Payne, Jesus Christ loves you. You're here this morning because somebody somewhere sowed the seed of God's word in your heart, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed that seed, and all of a sudden your life changed. When I got this word in me, I didn't need alcohol. I didn't need drugs. I didn't need all the things of the world, because this word changed me. This is not something you carry to save your seat at church. This is the word of Almighty God. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. It is seed. This book contains the most authentic history ever recorded, the greatest covenant ever written, and the greatest will ever executed. This book records the past. It's a mirror to the present, and it's a prophet of the future. This book has walked down more roads, knocked on more doors, touched more hearts, and changed more lives than any book in the history of the world. This book is still the best-selling book that has ever been written in the history of the world. I wish somebody would say amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. Preachers and professors have stood in podiums and pulpits and loaded up their intellectual six guns with evolution and situation ethics and relative thinking. And they shot at this book and they wounded it, but it's still alive and well. The Russian dictionary, before the Iron Curtain fell, the dictionary of the Russian people said, in defining this book, it is a collection of myths and fables and fairy tales. But let me tell you something. This book brought down the Iron Curtain, and now churches all over Russia are having a mighty move of God and revival, because this seed is mighty and it will prevail. Come on, are you still here? You know, we've had people who conducted funerals for this book, telling people that God was dead. But in the middle of the interment, this book exited the grave and outlived the pallbearers. This is the word of God. It will prevail. They took this book out of the schools, and now violence and drugs and murder fills the hallways of America. We took this book out of the home, and now 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. We took it out of the home, and now Eddie don't know where he's Eddie or Alice. Are you still here? Come on. This word says that God created male and female. This word says that a man shall leave his wife and cleave. A man shall leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. This, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. This is the Bible. This trumps the Supreme Court. This overrules the Supreme Court. If we'll preach this Bible, we can change America. If we'll sow this seed in our home, we can have a strong family. I don't mean to preach like this morning, but I'm telling you, I'm tired of dead churches. Amen. Dead sermons and dead preachers. This book set me free. I'm redeemed, Brother Adam. Thank God for that song. I am redeemed because of this seed. When Jesus wanted to describe his death, burial, and resurrection, he chose a seed. John chapter 12, he said, except a corn of wheat falls in the earth and dies, it abides alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. I always carry seeds with me. This is a tomato seed. It's got a prophecy on the front of it. It says, if I sow this seed in 80 days, I can have tomatoes. How many of you believe that if I sow this seed in 80 days, I can get tomatoes? Wave at me if you believe that. Come on. But you see, this seed was made by heirloom seeds. Anybody know heirloom seeds? A couple of you know about them, but do you know the people that own it? No, we don't. But they print something, we believe it. Are you still here? I said, we believe heirloom seed, but we don't believe the word of God. The Bible said in Matthew that if you build your house on this, the storm will come, but the house will stand. This says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that this will build your faith. Hebrews 11, 6 says, with that faith you can please God. Romans 1, 16 said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation. We have to, number one, believe the word. Number two, act on the word. Number three, speak the word. Everywhere you go, you got a problem, speak to the problem. Jesus didn't say, sing about climbing up the mountain. He said, speak to the mountain and the mountain will remove. Come on, you got to speak to your problem. You got to speak to your problem. Speak the word of God to it. I said, speak the word of God to it. If you got financial problems, speak what Pastor Shane led us in this morning. I'm a giver, and because I give, I get back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If heirloom can promise you tomatoes, I can promise you prosperity from the word of God. Now, here's another tomato seed. And this is important, so listen to what I'm saying. This one is a hybrid seed, which means they took the original seed into the lavatory and genetically modified it. This seed will produce a tomato, and the seeds in the tomato will produce tomatoes. This seed will produce a tomato, but the seeds in it won't produce anything because it's a hybrid. Now, why is that important? It's because we live in a generation that has taken this seed and they've modified it and made it a hybrid seed. They mixed it with religion. They mixed it with tradition. They mixed it, come on, with success theology. Come on, talk to me, church. They mixed it with other things that has diluted it, that has watered it down and made it of little effect in the world today. I want to tell you, this book don't say just be the best person you can be. This book says come out from among the world and be a separate, saith the Lord. Come on, this book says you must be born again. We have a bunch of success gurus disguised as preachers that are more concerned about their next book deal than they are about the 154,600 souls that are going to hell every day. We have a seeker-sensitive church that wants to make the sinner feel comfortable. Listen, there wasn't no worse sinner in the church than I was the night I came to give my soul to Jesus Christ. Are you still here? Amen. I didn't want to feel comfortable. I wanted to give my soul to Jesus Christ. Oh, I know. We got sinners on Sunday morning, and we got to make them feel comfortable. Can I say something to you? And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I was full of hell when I come to church. Amen. And I didn't want to feel comfortable. I wanted the gospel to scare the hell out of me. Come on. I wanted God to deliver me and set me free. And for 54 years, this book has kept me free. I said, for 54 years, this book has kept me free. If we'll get back to this book, we'll see a mighty move of God across the nation. You got a preacher in Cookeville, and he's a preacher of the word of God. You watch what God's going to do. God will raise a building out of that ground. God will fill that building up with people. God will fill the altars up. God will send a mighty move of his spirit. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, this is seed. It's no coincidence that seed was created on the third day. Because God was looking ahead in time to another third day. John chapter 19, verse 41, it says, there was a garden where Jesus was crucified. And in the garden was a tomb. What happened in the first garden was going to be reversed in the second garden. What happened because a tree that grew from a seed led man into sin was now going to be reversed by another seed that was birthed in the womb of a virgin by the name of Mary. Galatians 3:16 says Jesus was a seed. Can I tell you this? If I plant tomatoes this season, next season, I have to plant them again. But have you ever noticed you don't have to replant that grass that grows up through your driveway and your sidewalk? If you haven't noticed, it just comes back every year. The difference in seeds, one seed is an annual. It has to be planted every year. But one is a perennial seed that only has to be planted one time. Jesus didn't have to come and die every time man sinned. Come on. He wasn't an annual seed. He was a perennial seed that was going to be sown once and for all for the sinners that were present then and the sinners that were present in church this morning. Jesus is that seed. And you want to know why the stone couldn't hold him in the grave? You want to know why the stone was rolled away? There was a perennial seed inside that tomb. Jesus went in a seed, but he came out a Savior. Are you here this morning? He went in a seed, but he came out a Savior. Stones can't hold back seed. Jesus is that seed. And we need to sow that seed. I wasn't going to say this, but boy, I got to say it. I'm trying to be kind, but when you spend more time on Facebook than you do with your face in this book, you're not going to be ready for what comes into your life. Thank God for Facebook. I've got a Facebook page. But you have to, for 54 years later, I still got to keep my face in this book. The average Christian prays and studies the Bible 9 minutes a day, and I believe that's stretching it. Why do you say that, Brother Payne? Because I have prayer lines every night. You're getting prayer for things that ought to be solved at home. You go out with a credit card running through the mall like you're in the Calvary hollering, charge. Because you can't get your flesh under control long enough to keep from going in debt. And then you come to church and give God $5 and ask somebody to pray that you'll get out of debt. I wish you'd have come before you got in debt. I could have helped you more then than I can now. Somebody shout now. Come on. This book tells us how to be blessed. But see, we have a hybrid gospel. Let me tell you what I believe. Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin. I can't believe that folks aren't running up and down the aisles. I said Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God, born of the Holy Ghost. He was the seed of God deposited in the womb of Mary that was the Son of God. Now, if you read this and you sow this, let me tell you what kind of harvest you're going to get. If you want tomatoes, sow tomatoes. If you want corn, sow corn. If you want okra for any ungodly reason, I don't know why, but if you want it, sow it. But if you want Jesus, you got to sow this book. I said, you got to sow this book. You got to speak it when you get up. You got to speak it when you lay down. You got to speak it when you're going through the day. It don't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what your mama said. It just matters what this book says. And if this book says it, I believe it. If this book says it, I'm going to stand on it. A woman asked me the other day, do you believe Jonah was really swallowed by the whale? I said, honey, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it. Praise God. This word is true. I don't understand it all, but I stand on it all. Hallelujah. I got to preach one more time, don't I? I ought to pace myself. This is seed. Seed has to be sown. You know, when God created seed, he had a purpose for every seed. I'm going to try to bring this message close. I never got to my good notes. I got some really anointed notes, Brother Steve. I just didn't get to them. On the third day of creation, God created this seed. That's a seed that will grow a tree called the Cedars of Lebanon. It was that tree that was going to build the Temple of Solomon, where the glory of God. See, we see trees. God sees temples. We see an apple seed. God sees an apple tree and apple cobbler. Yeah. Come on. Amen. Now, this seed is so tiny you can barely see it. But it was created on the third day of creation. It's called hyssop. You remember when Israel was coming out of Egypt after 430 years of bondage, and the death angel was going to pass through Egypt that night. It was hyssop that was dipped in the blood that was put on the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over. Now, you find hyssop at the cross. When Jesus is thirsty, they take a hyssop stalk and they put a sponge on it with vinegar and hold it up to his lips. Hyssop was there when they came out of Egypt, and hyssop was there when they came out of sin. That seed, had that seed not been created, you wouldn't see hyssop. But when God created it, he saw ahead. He saw his people in bondage, but he saw them coming out. Now, why is that important? Because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, God saw you this morning in Cookeville, Tennessee, in the Bend Church with every need in your life. Some of you need a miracle. Some of you need to be healed. Some of you need to be delivered. And so God didn't just see his son hanging on that cross. He saw a parade of miracles that would follow. Oh my God, he saw a parade of miracles that would follow the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there's one more seed, and then I'm gonna close. This seed grew the tree that Jesus knelt at in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's an olive seed. It grew a tree that Jesus knelt to pray at. If this seed had not been created by God, there would have been no oil for Samuel to anoint David. There would have been no oil for Moses to mix with the five spices and anoint everything in the tabernacle. There would be no oil for the elders of the church in James 5 to anoint the sick. Give God some credit for his genius. For being able to look ahead in your life and see you and send his son to suffer in your behalf. And all he asks us to do is to take this seed and to go into all the world and sow it. You know, I've been carrying these seeds in my pocket probably for 10 years now, and I have no harvest. Could somebody help me? I need help. What do I need to do? Well, how long are you going to carry that Bible before you realize you got to sow it? So it's not up to Brother Adam, Pastor Shane, or Miss Pam to build a church in Cookeville. It's up to you and I to sow this word in our neighbors, in our work associates. I got an iPad, and I got 17 different translations of the Bible on it, and I use it most of the time. But, you know, I got on an elevator the other day with my iPad, and nobody noticed me. But if I get on an elevator with this, you ever notice that? You can walk in a restaurant and lay your iPad up on the table, and the waitress doesn't even notice. Lay this up on the table. Thank God for iPhones. And, you know, we got smartphones and smart cars and smart TVs. And this lady over here was drinking smart water. I told her four churches I went to gave me smart water. And I didn't know if they was trying to tell me something or not. But we got smart everything. But I believe this is the dumbest generation, because we think we can have God without this book. Our forefathers probably turned over in their grave at some of the things that's happened in Washington, because they built this entire nation on this book. Well, man, I did really good this morning. I quit before time. But I want to look. I may never, ever see you again. I'm a lot closer to heaven right now than I was when Jesus saved me. And I don't want to go to heaven without you. I didn't come here just as a favor to my friend, although I would. I love him. I come here to tell you about a Savior that changed my life, and he can change your life. Maybe you come to church, but you're still bound. Listen, coming to church is wonderful, and being with God's people is wonderful, but somewhere you've got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Somewhere you've got to get sick of this world and sick of sin. And there may be one this morning here or watching online. I don't know, but I got to ask you before I take my seat. If Jesus came today, well, God forbid you didn't make it back next Sunday or next Wednesday. Is everything all right between you and the Lord? Have you got disappointed and, you know, hardest thing I ever walked through, I walked through 9 years ago. My wife of 47 years went to heaven. My prayer partner, the woman I married when I was 17 years old, went to heaven. I wanted to quit and I wanted to give up, but I couldn't forget where I came from and all that God had done for me. God gave me someone to help me, and I remarried because I don't think it's good for a man to be alone. At least that's what my wife told me. And God gave me another helper, but at that moment I wanted to give up and I want to quit. And I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know you. But before we go, just by an uplifted hand, Brother Payne, I'm not where I need to be with God. Would you pray for me before you close the service? Would you just slip your hand up and back down? Let me see where you are. God bless you, dear. God bless you, son. Is there someone else? I'm feeling the strong moving of the Holy Spirit right back toward the back of this section right here. And I'm not going to belabor this, but if you're not where you need to be with God, don't let this service close. I don't want to embarrass you, but listen, I've been there. I know where you are and what you face. And would you just slip your hand up? Let me pray for you right where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you, son. Is there someone else that joined this young man? Could we just stand for a moment? I believe there's a miracle anointing in this place today. I really do. The Bible said in Mark chapter 16 that the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. I believe I preached the word this morning. And I believe God will confirm this word. This word says God will heal you. This word says God will deliver you. This word says God will set you free. And while Adam plays, and we take about, I don't know, a couple of minutes, we got to get ready for the next service, but just a couple of minutes for you to come and just join me around the front here. Let us pray together that God will heal, God deliver, God will set free. Would you come now? Don't wait. Just come now. Say, Brother Payne, I need something from God today. I want God to confirm his word in me. Brother Adam, would you just sing a chorus there? And before I close, if that's you, I don't want to close this service without giving you an opportunity for God to confirm his word in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Could I ask some believers that would just come and stand behind them for just a moment? Would you do that? And we're going to pray. We're going to believe God for them today. We're going to believe God to confirm his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Just lay your hand gently on their shoulder and just begin to pray. If you pray, pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. You that are still in your seat, stretch your hand out and just get in agreement with us right now. God, I pray for those in the crowd that raised their hand this morning, that they'll call upon your name now. Ask your forgiveness. Receive your forgiveness. And Lord, be delivered today. Father, as I lay hands on these this morning, according to your word, you said we'd lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So Lord, we lay hands on them now in the name of Jesus. We believe for the miraculous power of God to touch them. Lord, we just glorify your name. Hallelujah. We thank you for the miracle working power, God, we feel in this house. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle working power of God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, you may not be in the front, but there's someone here this morning and you think your marriage is over. The Lord wants me to tell you it's not over. Just start speaking the word in that situation and watch what God will do. Don't give up. Just speak the word and watch what God will do. There's coming a turnaround as you speak the word of God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church and these great, precious people that have allowed me to preach to them this morning. I pray that you will go with them from this place. Put your angels of protection around them, according to Hebrews 1:14. Lord, cause them to meet somebody this week that they can just sow a seed into. Lord, that they can just sow a seed and just speak the word to them, Lord. Knowing, dear God, that as that word goes into their heart, it's going to bring forth a harvest. Lord, I pray that you'll create a hunger in everyone that heard me this morning to get back in the Word, Lord. If they're not in the Word, get back in the Word, Lord, and read the Word. And Lord, begin to speak the Word. Father, give a great harvest of revival to this church. God, a great harvest of revival in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Amen. Well, love on somebody. You're free to go and make room for the next group of people that's coming in. God bless you. Thank you for letting us preach to you today.